Good morning.
Good morning.
I have been waiting 2 weeks to preach this sermon. And I've got more sermon than what I need. I need to preach it in about 10 minutes, and I don't think that that's going to be possible. Are you okay with just being like 5 minutes over? Is that okay? I'll speed it up. You give me a little extra time. I've got at least one thumbs up, so the rest of you are in. Okay. There's another song that came to my mind, too, with this particular scripture, and that is, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. You know, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His awesome power and His grace. I can hear the touch of angels' wings. I see glory on His face, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I'll bet you feel that every time that you get in your car to come to church, don't you? No, you don't. There are times where life impedes and we still have to learn and come into the Lord's presence. If you've been following your Bible reading that is still out there and you can join in at any time, here's what happened to the Israelites. When God sent Moses to them, God even had to tell them what his name was. They had forgotten so much about who they were as a people of God, they didn't even know his name. In their travels through the wilderness, they learned about God's character and his goodness. At the Mount of Sinai, they were given and taught the laws, and the covenant was established with them. So you can see a progressive learning that is going on there. Now, the Lord's presence was with them. They knew it because they had the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire. Sometimes it was a rear guard that protected them. Sometimes it dwelt on the outside of the camp, and sometimes it rose and went before them. And that's how they knew where they were going. That's how they knew how to follow their God. But the tent of meeting where Moses spoke with God was on the outside of the camp. If you look closely, there's a lot of words in there and a lot of scriptures, but it is a progressive teaching by God to his people who God is, and of God drawing ever closer to the congregation of his chosen people. But right now, the tent of meeting was on the outside of the camp. And it said in the scripture that whenever Moses would go out to meet God at the tent of meeting, that people would stand at the entrance of their own tents. And as Moses entered, then the cloud of presence would come and people would bow down and worship because they knew surely the presence of the Lord was in that place. What you just heard in the scripture was a culmination and another move of God to being in the presence of his people. It was a tent of meeting before, but now God gave them the specific directions on how to build and assemble and make the accessories for the tabernacle. And this tabernacle was on purpose. Everything was given instructions for it. Now you might be reading your scripture and go, God said make it this way, and Moses told him the exact same thing, make it this way, and they said, we're going to make it this way, we'll do it, and then they made it this way, and by that time you're thinking, all right, I've got it already. But there was no ambiguity on what was to be done. Sometimes we're going through a thing in the council right now of trying to reestablish and rediscern our mission and our vision. Because we have been established for a while, we have to look once again, and that involves God's presence and hearing what he has designed for us. God has a design for Casey White Oak Church.
Amen.
Did you know that? And we have to listen to the way that he wants us to put it together and to do it. Now, I do have a slide. It's one of those rare things where I have a slide for today. And this is the layout of the tabernacle. This is the one where they built the tabernacle, and as they began to consecrate it, the Lord's presence came down and dwelt in that place. Now, I wish the orientation was more up than sideways. But if you can imagine you're standing at the gate, which is, which is over here, looking in, there is a certain pattern there. And I want to make this connection between this pattern and the New Testament. Because our God has been faithful enough to not just tell us, but give us forewarnings, to give us pictures, to give us hints as to what is coming. This place was designed so that God's people would be able to worship, to come and have their sins washed away, and know that God's presence is with them. There is a similar pattern in this church right now, and it's this. As we go through this tabernacle quickly, you will find that it is in the same pattern of the cross. Right now, it's like this. But if it was turned up the other way, it would be here. And the reason that I bring this up is people brought their sacrifices. The first thing that they encountered was here. And this was the bronze altar. The altar was just as deep as it was wide, and it was made out of bronze. If you know anything about metallurgy, bronze is made out of copper and tin. It is not a pure metal. It is a mixture of metals. What the Israelites would do is bring their animals there, and they would be sacrificed upon that altar. And the blood of that was taken into the Holy of Holies, which I'll talk about in a minute, and spread upon the mercy seat. And that blood was the atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. The very first step, which was available to all of God's people, was to come to the altar of sacrifice. And for us as God's people, the very first step is to come to the foot of the cross, to accept the sacrifice of another being for ourselves, whose blood can be put in front of the mercy seat, begging for mercy for us. And we know that Christ's blood is that effective propitiation for our sins. Now, one of the differences between the cross and the church and this particular tabernacle is that that's as far as the people could go. The next thing is the bronze, they call it the laver or the pool. It was a big bronze bowl. It was made out of the bronze that used to get polished for mirrors. Did you ever wonder how they checked themselves out in the Old Testament? They had bronze that was polished so that they could see their own image. It's the same thing here. It was a laver or a bowl, and the priests could come and wash themselves before they go into the holy place, because there was an outer, on this outer part, that's just a curtain in bronze stands that cut this off as a special place. Then there was a tent inside with several different types of coverings. It had acacia wood that was covered with gold and had several things on the inside. The priests had to wash themselves before they went into the holy place. In Christianity, we know that when we receive Christ, it's not like that we can check the box off, you know, just dust our hands off, say, well, got that done. I'm all set spiritually. Have you ever figured out? I'm sure you figured out that when we come to Christ, that's just the beginning of life. That's just the beginning of the process. The theological word is sanctification. That we are evermore becoming more and more like Christ. And where does that come from? That comes from the washing of the word. That comes from the washing of the blood. It's the same place where, in order, that was required of the priests. The one thing that was made of a looking glass, they were supposed to have introspection on themselves. Sometimes when we remember, Melanie and I will pray Thursday night, Friday, whenever we're praying together. And Lord, start preparing our hearts now for the worship that we will have on Sunday. Might be a little bit different if we all prayed that consistently. I say we, because it isn't consistent. But introspection of ourselves. Now, here we get to the really good part. Now, I want to say the priests, that's from here, all the way in here, in the Old Testament, only the priests went there. If you brought your animal and it was sacrificed, you were done for the day. Okay? But the priests had work to do. They could enter this portion of it. It was a curtain across here that was hung on 5 different pillars. The books weren't even written yet. But there were 5 books of Moses. What brings us into the presence of God? His word, his holiness, and his help. When you entered into it, this is pretty amazing, you know. The church is kind of set out in a cross as well, isn't it? So you would have encountered sacrifice and cleansing. And then as you come forward, as you entered this area, there would be 3 particular things you would see. First, on your left would be the golden candlestick. The light was never to go out. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And his light will never go out. It will always be. On the right hand was the table of showbread. And Jesus also said, "I am the bread of life." Now, this particular table had a loaf for every tribe. So even though the people could not go in, the people were not forgotten when they were there. And that was refreshed every day. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never ends. His mercies, plural, never end. They are new every morning. There's one more parallel here too. And this is the altar of incense. This was the altar of sacrifice, and this is the altar of incense. The altar of incense was smaller. It wasn't any bigger than this, and about as high as this. And fire was brought from the altar of sacrifice and put together with incense, for which was also given specific instruction. And as that burned, it would fill the temple, but it would also penetrate. You know this word because it's in the New Testament as well. It penetrated the veil. The veil itself was hung on 4 pillars. Can you think of a set of 4 books in the Bible? Like the Gospels. And we know in the New Testament that when Jesus died on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," there was an earthquake and the veil of the temple was torn into from top to bottom. And you go, "Oh, well, you know, maybe it was moth-eaten a little bit." No, this was woven in such a way that it was about 4 inches thick. And that veil was torn in two. But what would happen is, if you brought fire in from this altar and put on the proper incense, Scripture is clear that that represents the prayers of the saints. 3 times in the book of Revelation, it talks about the altar of incense, and the incense that's put on it are the prayers, represents the prayers of the people, which bring a sweet smell to God's nostrils. So we have the sacrifice of Jesus. We have the introspection of ourselves. We have the altar of incense where our prayers go before the Holy God. But that veil, only one person went beyond the veil once a year. And after a long ritual of cleansing, the high priest would go behind that veil. And let me tell you, it was a serious thing. It was so serious that on the robe of the high priest that went in, they had to tie bells on it so they could hear him move and make sure that he wasn't dead. And they also tied a rope around his ankle, because if he was dead, You had to have a way to get him out. My friends, being in the presence of the Lord is a glorious thing, but it is a scary thing. I find it interesting you mentioned nervous and scary this morning, Wayne. Because some people don't seek the presence of the Lord because they see the scary side. But can I tell you, Jesus has already taken that burden from us. And the veil was opened not only so that we could have access to our Heavenly Father, but so that our Heavenly Father could have access to us. One final thing. You have to do it the way that God designed it. Some of the sons of Aaron, it says, when they brought the incense to the altar, they used, and these are the words, strange fire. What does that mean? Many commentators say this. They were lazy that day. That's the basis of it. They didn't come out here and start with the sacrifice that was for the sin. They were already around a campfire. Maybe they looked at their sundials and said, "Oh, we're late!" And they just picked up a few coals from the one that's on the outside. They also were struck because it was a strange fire. There are some people that I have spoken to. I've had more than one person's, you know, when I'm speaking to them about Jesus and about salvation, just kind of give a wink and say, "Well, me and the man upstairs, we've got an understanding." There's a very good chance that's strange fire. And you are playing with fire if you have that. Because there is one fire acceptable to the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God of the universe, and it is that. For our salvation, we also have a bronze altar, and that is Jesus Christ. There is no other way to salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And here's the final point for it too. Back in here, you have the Ark of the Covenant. And the ark itself is the box, and on the top it's called the Kefaret, which is Hebrew for mercy seat. And God didn't dwell in any of the other places. Here's your good news. God sits on the mercy seat. And the mercy seat becomes our salvation together with the blood of Jesus Christ. It fulfills the character of God. Worship team, would you come, or Danelle, would you come forward? The place where Jesus is the most, is the Holy of Holies. That's the Hebrew way of saying the very or utmost holy place. We've got a lot of good churches in Casey. But can I ask you, when you think about where God's presence is in Casey, could you name a place? Would you name Casey White Oak Church? Do we come here and are we amazed at the presence of Jesus the Nazarene? And this is not a condemning question. This is an evaluation question. Because if we don't, then we have to ask, where are we stuck in here? Are we just coming in the gate, giving our sacrifice, and going home? Or are we engaging in introspection and allowing ourselves to be cleaned? Do we enter into a worship place? Do we allow God to use us as light of the world? And are we seen as such? Are we feeding people, not just physically, but those who are spiritually hungry as well? Are we praying regularly? Where are we stuck if we are not amazed at Jesus the Nazarene. Think about that while we sing.